We spent 3 weeks talking about the idea of the Torah commanding emotions. We took it from we compared it with some psychological approaches, cognitive approaches, behavioral approaches. The last two shirim were not recorded because they accidentally got deleted, so I apologize for that. So if you miss those, you'll just have to come to me privately and we'll go over it, or perhaps in the future we'll do it again. But we're transitioning this week into a new, when I say topic, I don't mean full topic, because our series is still V'ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. But what I want to do today, I think should be fun and a learning experience, is go through every time. We'll see how tedious it gets. If it gets too tedious, we'll skip a few. But go through at least many of the times where the word love, the shoresh of Aleph Hey Vav, Ahav, is used in the Torah. The reason why this is important is because, again, we have a commandment of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Our question is, and this is the question that is guiding everything that we're trying to figure out, is what does that mean? What does it mean to love someone like yourself? What is the Torah requiring of us? What does it want us to do? And in order to do that, we have to understand what the word v'ahavta means. And in order to do that, so there's a number of things we can do. We can look in a translation, but the translation is probably going to say love, right? Then we could ask, what does love mean? We can ask, does what love means in the Torah the same things that it means nowadays in the 21st century? When the Torah uses the word love, does it mean love every time it uses it? Does it mean the same exact thing? Or does perhaps it mean something different? We'll have to see. We'll talk about that as we go through the sources. In what context does the Torah use the word love? Does love mean love between a person? What else can love mean? Can it mean something else? So we'll see how the Torah uses it in what context. So as we go through the times the Torah uses it, hopefully, or maybe it won't, but maybe that will inform us when we look at our pasuk of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha, when we want to know what does that mean from the other uses in the Torah, maybe that can help us understand what it means, Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. At the end, maybe we'll come out and say, no, it's not going to help us. These other times there's too many, they mean too many different things, so we'll have to see by the end. So there's two things that I want us to think about as we go through these psukim. In the background of everything, it's not going to be the direct thing that we're doing now, but in the background, I want you to start thinking about what can we give a blanket, big umbrella definition for what the Hafta means. Is there a unifying definition for all of these usages? I mean, not to scare you, but you have here 3 pages of usages. And this is just in Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, and Devarim. Bamidbar doesn't have the use of the word love. You find it a lot in Bereishis, twice in Shmos, twice in Shmos, twice in Vayikra, and a bunch of times in Devarim. So again, is there a unifying definition of every time this word is used? So that's the background thing that I want us to be thinking about. And what we're going to be doing directly is we're going to try to categorize in what contexts is the word love used. Meaning, is it love of a person? Is it love of God? Okay, those are the two examples I'll give you for now, but there's going to be more. So as we go through this, and that's what our handy little whiteboard is going to do for us, is we're going to try to map out into different categories what these v'ahavtas are. As we do that, so I want you to try to tell me, is it going to, we'll create new categories based on what you tell me, and we'll fit subsequent psukim into some of those other categories if they fit. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. You have the sheets in front of you. There are, you have the English and the Hebrew. So let's just jump in. So the first time is with Abraham and Akedas Yitzchak. Right? Genesis chapter 22. Vayomer kach nas bincha es yechidcha asher ahavta. Take this child, the singular child, that you love, es Yitzchak, and go into Har Moriah, and etc., etc., etc. So what type of love is discussed here? Love between whom? Father and son. Okay, good. So we have, and we'll have to debate how specific we want to get. But we have here love. Let's do broad for a second. Before father and son, what is it?
Between two people.
So we have love between people, and let's break it down a little bit. We have father and son. Okay, good. Next. Bereishis 24. Vayivia Yitzchak ha'ohela Sara imo vayikaches Rivka v'tihilo li'isha. So Yitzchak now gets his new wife, Rivka, takes her into the tent of Sara, vayeaveh, and he loved her, vayinachem Yitzchak acharei imo, and he was consoled, comforted for his mother. So what do we have here?
Man and woman.
Man and woman, maybe romantic, but let's just do husband, wife, man, woman. Okay, so that's still within people. Man, woman. Okay, next. Vayehev Yitzchak es Esav, kitzai befiv, Rivka oheves es Yaakov. So what do we have here?
Same thing, father-son.
Father-son or mother-son. Okay, so we'll add mother-son. I'm not putting on this board the context in terms of Yitzchak or Esav or whatever. We'll just get, sort of the broader categories. But perhaps in the future what we'll do is we'll go into these cases and try to understand it even more in depth as to how the word is being used in those cases. I mean, this is a strange dynamic. You have a pasuk saying the father loved this son and the mother loved this son, and that's, we have to sort of understand that within a Bereishis context, but that's not our goal for today. Okay, next pasuk. Va'asali matamim, va'aseli matamim kasher havti va'biyali va'ochela bavur tivarcha nafshi b'terem amus. So Yitzchak says to Esav, "Bring me the food that I love." Love. Don't switch to like. The word's the same word.
It's food.
Okay. So what is so what? So give me new category. What's our new category?
Material.
Okay, so to objects. Okay, love to objects. This is one people, two objects, and we'll go with food for now. Okay? Next. Sort of the same context. Lechna alatzon v'kachli misham shnei gidye izim tovim v'aseh osam atamim avicha kasher ahev. Right, so Rivka tells Yaakov to go get the, the goats, and make the food that he loves. So same idea, the food that Yitzchak loves. Again, that the father loves. Okay, so there you have love of food. Next, Bereishis 29. So Yaakov says, "I love your daughter, Rachel. So I'll work for her for 7 years." So this goes back to our man woman relationship. Next pasuk. So the 7 years went by so quickly because he loved her so much. Same category. Again, loving Rachel. So Leah now, when Reuven's born, has said, "Oh, now my husband's going to love me." So you have sort of, again, within that context of the Rachel-Leah-Yaakov dynamic, it's interesting to figure out. Exactly, you have a love struggle going on here that Yaakov keeps saying Yaakov loves Rachel, and Leah's like dying for that love. But again, this all falls back into the man, a woman. We could call it romantic love. There are some, and maybe we'll get into this in a future shiur, there are some historians who argue that romantic love is a relatively new phenomenon, and that going back, more than 300 years, you don't really have so much romantic love. Others disagree. From the Torah, it seems that there's some romance going on here, but, we could argue about that at a different time. Next, Bereishis 34. Batidbak nafsho bedina bas Yaakov ve'ahavas ha'na'ara v'yedaber alev ha'na'ara. So with Dina and the story of Shechem, so here he loves her, right? Vayehav. Okay, so same, I would say man-woman relationship there. We got a lot of those. We should do a tally chart over here, but there are a lot of... Right, so...
A lot of different, you mentioned so many of them, but they're completely different.
Right, so...
Not that men or women, but it's not the...
Right, 100%. So as I said, we would have to go through each one and sort of analyze it better, but this is the broad overview. But what did you just say, Laser?
One-sided
love. So that's a very important point. Number one is that, and maybe this will get into a woman in Tanakh sure at some point, but number one is that any time you find love between a man and a woman, it always says that the man loves the woman. Except for one time where it says the woman loves the man. This is a tough one. You know it? It's not in the Torah, it's in the Vayim. David's wife. Well, one of David's wives. No. Michal bat Shaul. Michal loved David. Interestingly, and we'll do this in a different shir maybe, Rabbi Angel, who came to speak to us last year, has a nice analysis of the fact that, you know, David and Yonatan, you have, you know, Ahava, Tzuliya b'davar, Eina Tzuliya b'davar, it was a beautiful love. He points out that if you actually look through all of those stories, it never says that David loved anybody. Yonatan loved David. Michal loved David. It even says Shaul loved David. But it never says anything about David loving anybody else. Which is interesting, because you think of David, Tehillim, love, passion. It doesn't say... Okay, different shir. Okay, we're giving an overview. I like throwing these things out, because it whets our appetite. And these are you know, fascinating discussions. So, I mean, those are Tanakh discussions. Right now, we're just giving, again, a broad overview, not even within Nevi'im. We're just doing Torah. You have Nevi'im, you could do love. You have love in Tehillim. You have love in, you know, in specific stories in, you know, Nevi'im Rishonim. You have the love dynamic between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem in Nevi'im Achronim and, you know, in Hosea. You also have... Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is a whole love story. So, I mean, there's tons of Shirim we can give on that. But we have time. Okay, so now, back to our main story here. We're on the second page, Genesis 33. V'Yisrael Ahev Es Yosef Mikobanav Ki Ben Zekunim Hu Lo Vasalo Kesonas Pasim. So Yaakov loved Yosef more than any of his other children. Again, there's such a... The whole Bereishis seems to be a love struggle. Right? It's all, who do you love more? Which child do you love more? Which wife do you love more? But again, this falls into our broad category of man's son, father's son. The next, Vayru echav, ki oso ahev. Aha, sorry, the nakudos here are blurry. Ahav abiyem mikol echav, vayisne'u oso ve'lo yachud darbo shalom. So the brothers see that he loves Yosef, and they now hate him because of that, again, that power struggle for the love. Next, Genesis 44. Vanomer el Adoni, yesh lanu av zaken v'yad zikunim katan, v'achiv meis v'yibaser hu levado li'imo. Where is the, I think I copied the wrong pasuk. Is there an ahiv in there?
Huh?
Oh, v'aviv ahivo. There you go, sorry. I finished too quickly. So it's only him, and he is long left with his mother, and his father loves him. Right, again, so father, son. So that's the end of the Bereishis story. So we have, in Bereishis, we have father, son, mother, son, man, woman, and food. Okay, now we're going to Shmos, and we have an added dimension that comes up. Shmos 20. Ve'ose chesed lalafim lo'avai u'shomrei mitzvosai. So Hashem says that what does he do? He shows mercy unto the thousandth generation. And those that love me, and to those that love me and keep my commandments. So now, what do we have?
Man and Hashem.
Okay, I should have done different colors. Okay. Next time, when we get used to it, we'll... Okay, so you have man, God, but this is, let's be specific here. It's man to God. Okay? We'll see if it goes the other way at some point. So man to God. Can God love man? Right? This doesn't say, as of now, we don't know. Right now it says that man could love God. Okay, next, 21. Exodus 21. Vim Amor Yomar, this is one of my favorites. If the Eved says, if the slave says, Ahavti es Adoni, es Ishti, es Banai, Lo etze chavshi. If he says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. And then he stays for, you know, they do the thing in the with the ear, and he stays a little bit longer. So, what do you see here in this one pasuk?
It's man to man.
You have, well, okay, so you have a third category of people. We've never seen this before. I would be specific here.
Okay, so slave to master.
Okay, good. Slave, I love my master. Slave to master. You also have...
slave to wife and child.
Okay, fine. So I'll keep those father, son, man, woman. Okay? So, this pasuk, I think, highlights the difficulty of defining love. Within one pasuk, you use the word love to describe the father-son relationship, the man-woman relationship, and the slave-to-master relationship. The same word, love. So, what does love mean? We're not answering that yet, but what does love mean? I just want to highlight this pasuk to show how we use it in so many different contexts in the same sentence. Yeah.
But if you know that you have a master, so that pasuk would indicate that you, between your wife, between your children, and between the master, the love should be the same. The relationship should be the same.
Wait, so is that what it's saying? Is it equating all of these?
People master, a man master with a Hashem master, then would be...
Okay, so you have an issue here, and this is sort of, again, if we ever go into this in more context specific, you know, the relationship between his love of the master versus maybe, you know, remember the reason why they do it in the ear is because Hashem said, you know, Hashem's really the master.
Yeah.
So what you heard at Har Sinai, that I am your God, you should have remembered that. So there's some sort of critique to him for loving his master too much. So again, that would be more context specific if we ever delve into that more specifically. But for our purposes, again, use the same word love for three different people relationships here. Okay? Next. What are we up to? Leviticus 19. This is our main pasuk, the reason why we're doing this whole thing. Lo sikom v'lo sitoras b'nei amecha, v'ahavt l'recha kamocha ani Hashem. Don't take vengeance, don't bear a grudge, love your neighbor as thyself, I am Hashem. So what do we have here?
Between love between neighbor and between Hashem and to Hashem.
Well, ani Hashem maybe is requiring love, but at least for the neighbor. So we have, I would argue, a fourth category of people.
Now you are separating, it was man and man, are you specifying what type?
Yeah, I mean, where's man and man? There's no man and man. There's father, son.
The slave and master, I said. Would you
right,
like
so I want to be specific.
Now you're spelling out exactly, well, specifically each category.
Yeah,
okay.
So within
so
people,
it's man and neighbor. It's
man, right, so man and neighbor. Man, neighbor. Okay, so we have four love relationships between people. Okay? Next. Kazrach michem yeh lachem hager agar eitchem. So we have the same language used for a ger, right? You have to love the ger like yourself. Just because Jake highlighted it, we'll just give it another category here. So you have man to stranger. Next, Devarim. So now we're out of Shmos. We're out of Bereishis, Shmos, and Vayikra. Bamidbar, as I mentioned, there is no love, which is interesting, because, I mean, when you think about Bamidbar, what do you think about?
Harshness,
right? And mistakes and sins. You know, love is absent from the entire book. Okay? So, skipping to Devarim, what do we have? V'sachas, ki Devarim, chapter 4. V'sachas ki ahavas avosacha. V'yivchar bezaro acharav, v'yotziacha mibefana b'kocho agadol b'mimitzrayim. So because Hashem loved your fathers, he chose their seed after them and brought thee out of his with his presence, with his great power, out of Egypt. So now we have
Hashem and
two previous, right.
To our forefathers. I mean, it's more specific.
Hashem to, I'm going to do people, we'll put a parenthesis. Ancestors. Let's spell that right. Okay. So now we have a fourth category. Let's keep going. So Hashem shows mercy to those that love me and keep my commandments.
Number three,
man and God. Good. Devarim chapter 6. V'aptas Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha u'v'chol me'odecha. Love Hashem. Right, this is the famous pasuk. We say it every day. Love Hashem with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. What does this fall into?
Man
to God. Okay, and it's a commandment. Love man to God. Good. Devarim chapter 7. Lo merubchem mikol amim chashak Hashem b'chem v'yibchar b'chem ki atem hamat mikol ha'amim. So here the word is not ahav but chashak, but you'll see it's 7, 8, 9. We're reading together. So Hashem, they translate here, does not love you. He didn't choose you because you have a great number. You're small. You're a small nation. And the next pasuk is actually the next pasuk. So keep going. Ki me'avas Hashem eschem u'mishamro es hashvu'ah asher nishvala b'zechem otzias Hashem eschem b'yad chazaka. But it's not because of your number, but it's because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath which He swore unto your fathers. That's why He brought you out with a mighty hand, redeem you from Paro. And the next pasuk is the, again, subsequent pasuk, so it's 7, 8, and 9. V'yadatak Yashem Elokecha hu ha'alokim ha'kel ha'ne'eman shomer ha'bris v'ha'chesed lo'avav u'l'shomrei mitzvosav l'ador. So Hashem keeps, He's faithful, He keeps His covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Ve'ahevcha uverachcha v'hirbecha uverach privinecha priyad masecha deganecha v'sirashcha v'yitzarecha, etc. And He will love thee, bless thee, multiply thee, etc., etc., etc. So here we have, what did we just read? We read a bunch of stuff. What categories does it fit into? What? Three and four. So you have man to God, and you have God to man. Okay, good. So you have that sort of reciprocal relationship within this. You have both wound up together. And then finally, in Devarim chapter 10, V'ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Mimach. What does Hashem want from you? Ki'im li'ra'as Hashem Elokecha. To fear Him, alechus b'chol derachav, to walk in His ways, ula ahava oso, and to love Him. So again, Hashem wants us, wants man to love God. Next pasuk, rak, babosecha chashak Hashem la'ava osam. So Hashem delighted in your fathers to love them. He chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is to this day. So you have Hashem to people. Oh, so actually, right? So you have Hashem to people. We put number four, Hashem to people. We put ancestors. We have Hashem to people for you as well, not just for ancestors. So that's Hashem to people currently. And then two more. Osem mishpat yasom v'almana ve'ohev ger la'seis alechem v'simla. So He does execute justice for the fatherless and widow, and loves the stranger and giving him food and raiment. V'ahav temes ager ki germes em eretz yisrael. And you should love the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt. So what's happening over here?
So maybe the people, we should say the Jewish people and stranger people.
Huh?
Hashem to people.
Hashem loves the ger.
Right. So it seems like Hashem.
He's calling out people.
He's not going to
two types of people.
Right. So Hashem loves.
When we say people, that we understand is Israel, and when he says specific other people, says ger.
Right. That you should also emulate God.
Right. So again, so here we have Hashem telling us that, Moshe telling us that Hashem loves the ger, and you should love the ger, sort of like an emulation type of thing. But we have a more specific here, Hashem to ger, stranger. Okay. So that's it. That wasn't so bad. All right. We just went through a whole load of psukim. There was not so many. It went quickly. We went through a whole load of psukim. And our goal of going through these psukim was to see how the word love is used, in what context is the word love used in the Torah. So we have here, just to review, we have broad categories of loving people, or loving objects, loving man loves God, and Hashem loves the people. More specifically, within people, we found father-son, mother-son, we found man-woman, we found man to a stranger, to a ger, that's a commandment that you should do that. You have man to neighbor, you should do that. And you have slave to master as well. And again, to highlight, the same word is being used for all of those interpersonal loves. And not only is it being used for all of those interpersonal loves, it's also being used, the same word, for food. In the context of Yitzchak, he loves food, same word. Loves man, loves God. Is that the same love that I have for God, I have for another person? God loves man. What does that even mean? That's a deep question. What does that even mean? And is that the same love that man has for God? That man has for food? That's the love that God has for people? God loves us the same way that I love a hamburger. It sounds ridiculous. But it's the same word used. So now, what, you have a thought?
No.
No? Okay, so now, so what I want to do now, this is really, we're not going to be able to answer this definitively, but, yeah?
In Deuteronomy, when we talk about God wants man to love God, he also wants in love to fear God. Is that aspect?
Okay, love and fear, there's a connection there. Again, that could perhaps be another future topic. Actually, before we move on, go to the next page, page 4. So you have here the accessible online, the Brown Driver Briggs, which is a work from the early 20th century, like early 20th century, that written by three non-Jews. It's basically one of the go-to, I'm not a Bible scholar, but those who are Bible scholars, it is one of the go-to works in terms of if you want to know how a word is used in Tanakh, you look in the Brown Driver Briggs. So here he has on the on love, ahev, he tells us 5 different usages that it's used in Tanakh. So we have 4, so we'll have to see what his 5th is. But he has 5 different usages in Tanakh. You have here human, I know it looks like it's overwhelming amount of things, but a lot of those are just quotes from Psukim. So you have your human love to human objects. So that's our category number 1, right?
No, number 2.
To human object. Human love to human object. So that's number 1. So you have, he says number 1, absolute opposed to hate, okay. And he quotes Koheles there. Of love to son that we saw. Then he goes through here, David loving Amnon, never to parent. Oh, so you never have a son loving a parent. You have a parent loving a son. You never have a son loving to parent. Interesting. But you do have loving a mother-in-law in Rus. And now we're going out of just, the 5 books of Moses here, and we're going to all Tanakh. So he said, okay, you have man's love to woman, wife. We saw those. And he quotes you a bunch of psukim. And then he has woman's love to man, which we mentioned before, is 1, except for Shir HaShirim, that expands it a little bit. Slave to master, we had. Inferior to superior. I'm not sure, we have to go that inside. Love to neighbor, we saw, particularly to stranger. Love of a friend to friend. And that's about it. Okay, so that's human love to human object. So I think we did a pretty good job.
We did on the
Chamesh
from Shaytorah.
Right. Yeah, but I think even on the everything, we basically covered most of it. Less often of appetite, object, or food. So he has here Genesis 27:7. You know, we saw that stuff. And then he expands to drink. You find that in Hosea. Husbandry, length of life, right? Then now you're going to get like a lot of the love of sleep, love of wisdom, love of evil, love of idolatry. Because, I mean, here he expands it. We only had 1 in terms of food, but if you look to all of Tanakh, you have all of these other things that you could love, right? I love Torah. Right, so I could love Torah, and we use that word, I love Torah. Even though, again, it gets back to our same question. I love Torah the same much as I love food. Is it the same love? Okay, love to God, number three. He quotes some Exodus stuff. It doesn't really get so complicated. There are other examples in Tanakh. And number five, we'll skip four for a second. Number five is his of divine love. So divine love of individual men, of people of Israel, and also that's A, B, and then C is of righteousness. Okay, so you have in a lot in Tehillim, Hashem loves righteousness. So his number four is Ohev. So we didn't have that in the five books of Torah. You have Ohev is a lover in Lamentations. You have B of a, it means a friend. And Avram is called, Araya, or where is it? No, Abraham of God in Isaiah. Because you have some different examples there. But for our purposes, you know, our four are basically covered in this relatively comprehensive treatment in the Brown, Driver, and Briggs. Okay, so now, here's what I want to do. Now that we have all these categories, and we set up the question of how can possibly mean the same thing in all of these contexts. We do the same thing in English. We use the same word love to mean all of these different things. But when the Torah uses it, does it mean the same thing? Is there an overarching definition that we can give to the word love that can explain all of these things? What does love mean? And again, the reason why this is important, besides for just understanding Tanakh, is V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. What do you want from me? What is my obligation to do?
Yeah.
Emotion. So what is love? Love is an emotion. So you're saying. So
abstract. Abstract emotion.
So it's an abstract emotion. And how does that help me?
So if you take out the food, I would explain everything.
Take out the food.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. Different types
over
of
hamburger.
So Jake's saying maybe there is no overarching definition. And that's fair. Maybe we have to be more specific. Maybe there are different types of love, and then when the Torah uses the word love, it means different things in different contexts. That's fair, so now we just need a definition. So what are our you don't want to give one definition, you want to give multi-definition. So what's your multi-definition? Your multi-definition can't just be saying that love is love of people, love of food, love of men. Different levels of love.
Oh, okay. So that's
love
interesting.
That's basically what it
so you want to go, there's a ideal love, there's lower loves, there's so the food is the lowest on the ladder.
Depends on the individual.
Food is the highest on the ladder.
It's a progressive. My friend says progressive. It starts from something and then you progress.
Right. Okay, but you're basically saying, so is it the same emotion as Laser was basically saying, that gets attached to different things, and we need to attach it to, you know, attaching it to food is on a low level, attaching it to a person is on a medium level, attaching it to God is on another level. Then what does it mean in terms of God?
Some emotions, they go on biological level.
Biological, okay.
Yeah,
so
some
I
emotion goes on social level.
Okay, so social emotion, okay, I hear that. Again, you're still going to run into a problem with the God. I'm not sure there's going to be a good answer. Like, what God does? God have emotions? You know, if you say that according to the Rambam, you're a kofer. You're not doing too well. As some people, the Torah does describe God as having emotions, but generally we do not think about that as a literal emotion. So we have to understand what is it. Maybe it doesn't mean literally. Maybe when it says that Hashem loves the people, it means it figuratively.
And from your personal perspective,
right? Maybe it's just telling you a nice idea that God loves you. What does it mean God loves you? I have no idea.
I wonder,
and that's fair. We don't know. It's very hard.
I won yesterday a dollar in Lotto. That means Hashem loves me.
You won a dollar?
I see.
Okay, yeah.
Something that's dear to you.
Something that's dear to you. So love is something that is dear to me. Okay, that could be. So something that I have that is dear. Okay.
Whether it's food or it's a person, it's something that's dear to me.
So
it's money. It's money.
Important to me? Dear to me, like what is that? So now, just bring that to, let's say, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. So what would it mean? It means that every person should be dear to me. important to me, dear to me? What practically can that... Maybe you don't have to answer this, but I'm saying, is there any practical ramifications for that, that this person should be dear to me?
Attachments.
Wow, you just got very psychological on me. We'll see at some point that there is something called attachment theory, which is used to explain different ideas of love. I'm not sure if we're going to get into that into detail. Definitely not today, but maybe in the future. But I hear what you're saying, dear, important, and then maybe there are ramifications that if something is dear to me, I have to treat it in a certain way. Okay, so we'll get to that. Yeah. Okay, desire for closeness, maybe. I hear that. That could, I want to be close to you. I want to be, I would just get in terms of the vagueness to the more concrete, mm-hmm. What does that mean? What does that require of me? What is that, does it require me of anything? It is, again, I love your fellow like yourself. So that means I have to be close to him. What does that mean, close to him?
A desire to be close.
A desire to be, so I don't actually have to be close to him, I just have to desire to be close with him? Maybe, okay. I hear that. So again, there are answers to this. To me, they're still a little bit vague, and I'm not sure we're going to have a complete, comprehensive answer to this. And the truth is, there are many different... Whenever you have many different approaches to something, that generally means that it's hard to get one broad, concrete, clear, comprehensive definition.
To be close to somebody else.
Oh, Jake, that's a great point. We have a fifth category here that's inherent in the Va'ahavta Lerecha Kamocha.
Love
yourself. Okay. What does that mean?
Like your friend.
Be close to yourself.
Love
just as much as you love your friend. That's how much you love yourself. Okay, so what is that? Be close to yourself. Be your own best friend. Again, I hear that, but what is that? What does that mean? What is that practically? What does that mean? To care about myself. Maybe I'll give a hint. The Rambam talks about this to promote yourself. Or promote your friend to give yourself, to give your friend encouragement, let's say. To desire the best for somebody, like you desire the best for yourself. We're going to get into that next week. We're going to go into some of the Rambam, different ways that commentators on the Pasuk of Ahavta Lerecha Kamocha explain what is actually required of this Pasuk, getting into the discussion of how can you command me to love someone like myself? It's impossible. Is it possible? What exactly does it mean? We're not going to get there yet, but that's a fair point. So now, what I want to do is to turn to the next page. What you have here, again, there are many ways to do this, and this is not necessarily the only way, the best way. It is a way. What you have here is, I like the way that they did this here. This is from, it's called Character Strengths and Virtues, written by Martin Seligman and Christopher Peterson. It's a psychology book. So they, one of the strengths is love. And in the beginning, they go through all 24 of their, it's a book about positive psychology. They go through 24 of their strengths, their character strengths and virtues that they think are important to live a good life. One of those is love. So in love, in everyone, the first thing they do is define it. So I really like their definition here, and I think it could fit well with some of these different categories that we have in the Torah here. So page, it says 304 on the top. Does everybody see where I am?
Yes.
Morris, you look a little lost here.
304. There you go. So,
definition. So he says, love represents a cognitive, behavioral, and emotional stance toward others. So number one, you're using your thoughts, your actions, and your emotions, which gets back to what we did the past 3 weeks. You're using your thoughts, your actions, and your emotions towards others. That takes three prototypical forms. Like Jake was saying before, maybe there's not one definition. Maybe there's different types of definitions. So here's the three definitions that they the three prototypes that they suggest. One, is love for the individuals who are our primary sources of affection, protection, and care. We rely on them to make our welfare a priority and to be available to us when needed. They make us feel safe, and we are distressed by prolonged separations from them. The prototype of this form is a child's love for a parent. Okay, so now, notice that we don't have child to parent here, but that's fair, because he's not, as we'll see, this doesn't just mean a child's love for a parent. This is a type of relationship that is categorized by a child's love to a parent, but what the relationship is someone who is in a state of need or dependence on somebody else. So we look to them, to that person, to help us. That is one type of love that can be developed. Number two, another form of love is love for the individuals who depend on us to make them feel safe and cared for. We comfort and protect them, assist and support them, make sacrifices for their benefit, put their needs ahead of our own, feel happy when they are happy. The prototype of this form is a parent's love for a child. So this is us taking care of somebody else. The third form is love that involves passionate desire for sexual, physical, and emotional closeness with an individual whom we consider special and who makes us feel special. The prototype is romantic love, which we read about a lot in Bereshis. So he points out relationships can involve more than one type of love. For example, best friends may love each other in both a child-parent and parent-child way, in the sense that each leans on as well as looks out for the other. Relationships can involve different types of love at different points in time, etc., etc. So I like how he used, the reason why I like this, he used friends, it's not just mother-parent, mother-child, child-parent, and romantic. He then showed how this happens with v'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha, with man and friend. You can have a relationship with your best friend where you are looking to them to support, and you also provide them for support. So any relationship that involves those, or any one of these, or a number of these, it would be considered a loving relationship according to this idea. Now, I'm not saying that the Torah was, that they're giving a definition on what v'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha means. But what I'm perhaps just suggesting is that if we take this, these examples that they give and plug it in over here, we can sort of understand a little bit of how the Torah is using the love. There's different types. It's not one broad definition. At least we're not trying to give it right now. But what it is different types of love in different types of situation that could be transferred to different people at different times. So you could have father, son, mother, son, man, woman, man, neighbor, slave, master, man, stranger. It's all about, are you taking care of that person? Or is that person taking care of you? That creates love. Okay, objects. So, okay, this was our problem. So what about objects? So can you love an object? Okay, so you can do one of two things. You can have an object that you care about, and you provide needs for that, whether, let's say it's a dog. Can you love a dog? You can love a dog. Okay, but I'm starting from, can you love a piano, a basketball, a car. You could. Why could you? Because you're investing your time, effort, emotion into that object. So there could be love there. Sometimes it might be inappropriate or a waste of your time. Okay, that might be more subjective, but that you... Yeah, on the lower level of Jake's ladder. But on the flip, you could also perhaps say the opposite. What does food do for you? Not what are you investing into the food? The food is investing in, it's taking care of you. This food, like your spouse or like your parent, makes you feel good. You're depending on them. The food makes you feel you're depending on them. Yeah, 100%.
Emotionally, it can be very filling or gratifying, or let's say relates back to your childhood.
Right. So again, this is a broad definition, and we're including a lot of things under this, but that is a possibility. Man to God. I think it all fills. What are you investing into God? What are you investing into the mitzvahs? What are you investing into the Torah? Do you care about that? And then from the flip side, what is God investing into you? And the answer is everything. Right? God loves us. That means that He is nurturing us. He's like the Father. He's taking care of us. And then, again, the reciprocal is that we then do mitzvahs. We're, quote-unquote, loving Him, taking care of Him, from both perspectives. From the nurture, we're being nurtured by Him, and we're also, not that He needs us to do anything, but we are doing what He tells us to do. Okay, so if you look at it from this perspective, I think perhaps, again, you get a, you can get a starting point to a not a blanket definition, but a more specific definition that can encompass all of these things. With the few minutes that we have remaining, I will...
When I remember when I was younger, and certain foods were served on the school menu, I would say, I love this food.
Everybody says they love food. Yeah, I'm saying that's... Everybody uses that. We definitely use that language. But the question is, again, you could argue that you don't really mean it. And you're just using it as a... As a right, it's just a phrase. It's an expression. That could be. And the truth is that you could argue that that's what it means in the Torah also. It's an expression. And perhaps it's strange that the Torah, by Yaakov, by Yitzchak, keeps saying the food that he loves as an expression. But maybe, Dibra Torah Kelashon B'nei Adam. The Torah, we have a concept that the Torah speaks in man's language. So maybe that's all it's doing. Maybe we're investing too much into our discussion. And the answer is, why does the Torah use the word love here? Because that's what people do. People use the word love for food. Is there any deeper meaning behind it? No. The people are silly. They use the word love for things that don't really require. That could be. So what I want to do now is sort of give you a glimpse into the next thing that I want to do. And we'll leave it as a sort of cliffhanger. What I want to start doing is trying to give a broad... I know we just said we're not giving a broad definition, but we're going to try to give a broad definition that includes all of these type of love within it. And that broad definition is, if you look on the next page, is stated by, again, I'm quoting to a study here, but this is within the psychological literature, you have different models and different explanations of what love is. And this one, love and expansion of the self, we actually find in a very famous source by Rav Shimon Shkup. So, what is love and expansion of the self? So, just to read the abstract, I know it's small. The self-expansion model of love developed out of a confluence of research and on attraction and arousal, Eastern psychology, motivation theory, and the social psychology of personal relationships. Don't worry if you don't know what all those things are. The model treats love, the desire for a relationship with a particular other, as arising from a desire to expand the self by including that other in the self, as well as by associating expansion with that particular other. So what you're basically doing is love is, let's say, me. I love myself, let's say. And what the expansion model is saying is that you are now including others within your definition of self. And that's how you get to love them. Okay, it's a little abstract, but we'll see next week how, we don't have enough time. If you go, you'll see the next six pages are a photocopy. Somebody translated the whole thing online. So you have the English and the Hebrew there, but it's a pretty long piece. I don't want to rush it. I don't know if we're going to go through the whole thing inside, but to do it in 5 minutes is going to be too quick. So next week we're going to take a look at that and see how that affects our definition of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. And then what we're going to do is what I mentioned before is either one of two things. We're either going to see some other models of love within the Torah sources, or we're going to then, at some point, we're going to transition into how the Mefarshim treat this mitzvah of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha and what is actually required of us when it says to love your fellow like you love yourself. Questions? Good. Okay.
Thank you very much.